Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Discussions with David, which is coming to you live on the Facebook pages of KBOO Community Radio here in Portland, Oregon, and on the Facebook page of Popular Resistance and on various other platforms. And it goes out as a podcast afterwards, which you can find by looking for This Week with David Rovics on any podcasting platform. And today we are spending the hour with Dario Diaz in Argentina, actually in a town 300 miles to the north of Buenos Aires, but we're going to be talking about developments in Argentina generally and specifically with land occupations that have been happening in Buenos Aires and how we can all start occupying land in the rest of the world if we're not doing that already. And Dario Diaz is a longtime elementary school teacher in Argentina and organizer as well. And yeah, with no further ado, I will bring Dario onto the screen. Dario, it's I think your mic is muted. Did you mute your mic? Yes. Great to have you here on the internet.
I'm drinking mate.
Good, good. Oh, perfect, perfect. That is exactly as you should be.
It's our drug, vice.
Oh, it's a wonderful vice, yeah. And it never tastes the same when you leave that area of South America. It doesn't, it's not the same.
Have you ever been here in South America?
Yeah, I've been to Buenos Aires and also to Porto Alegre. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah,
Brazilian, years ago. Brazilian people also drink mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're famous for mate. Yeah, yeah. Actually, when I was in Denmark, there was a Brazilian who was trying to find mate in Denmark, and there was no mate anywhere. But we went to Sweden, and in Sweden you can find mate. Yeah, there's enough.
There are a lot of Argentinians and Uruguayans and Brazilians in Sweden.
In Sweden, yeah, yeah. Every time there's a
dictatorship.
Yeah, at the end of every dictatorship, or when a dictator comes to power, then more people move to Sweden. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes for a really amazing community of people in Sweden. The South Americans in Sweden are, many of them revolutionaries.
Yeah. More than in other countries, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Dario, when I was in Argentina, it was 19 years ago, and the economy had just collapsed. And it seems what I hear on the news about Argentina today.
It's... Can you repeat?
I was in Argentina 19 years ago. And the economy had just collapsed recently, and with the IMF and everything. And now Argentina is $50 billion in debt to the IMF, and then we have the pandemic, and things are really bad for a lot of people again. That's what I'm hearing about. And there are also land occupations going on, which is a very interesting development. Yeah,
it's a similar situation because 20 years ago, our country collapsed in a sense, in a capitalistic sense.
Right.
Because there was an explosion of social movements that were born in the 90s, but in 2000 years, there was an explosion, and there was fighters, thousands of fighters in the streets and in the neighborhoods, organizing, fighting against the state. And then we have two phases. It's clear that it came down, it was collapsed economically, but by our wing or by the people field, there was an engagement with our past, with other revolutionary past, with our traditions of fight, of struggle. And then I like to talk about these themes, but being conscient that there were at least two phases.
Mm.
We can talk about what's a collapse in a way, in a sense, but in the other sense, no. The best of our people went to the streets and created double power organizations, asambleas populares,
popular assemblies,
popular assemblies like Soviets,
workers' councils,
not the Soviet in a strong meaning like in Russia, but double power organizations.
Mm.
Then that was to put on the relief, because governments usually repeat that statement. In 2001 was a collapse. Argentina came down.
Mm.
Some businesses, our people killed, repressed, hunger, things, but especially the face, that face of the people fighting is I don't know how to say it, how to express it, but it's algo como something that eclipsado, oculto, hidden.
Mm. I mean, people and now, organized.
Yes, mm-hmm. And now it happens something like that. The world, the entire world, and our country is in crisis.
Yeah.
Social, political, economical, but always the people that is the future have resources to resist, to unite, to fight, and to indicate that there's a future. There's a future.
Mm.
And then, because I think the enemy of our consciousness of our situation, our is that depression. Governments usually want to depress people in that idea, from that idea that everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. Government, people, everything is collapsed and there's no future. Well, in a sense, really, if this continues this way, this system, obviously, but I think that if we repeat that, we depress ourselves.
Yeah, because there is, maybe they say, they want us to think there's no future because there's no future with capitalism at this point, right? But the future could be so much better with the people organizing for themselves. I mean, there's no reason why Buenos Aires needs to have so many people living on the streets. There's no fewer apartments in Buenos Aires. There's just as many apartments in Buenos Aires now as there were last year. But there were so many more people now living in the streets again.
Yes. And if you don't think so, and if you don't believe what the power or what government says, look at the United States, look Europe. Look at China, crisis everywhere. Well, then
everywhere.
Here you must wait, and do what you can, and see you later.
Mm-hmm. But people are taking initiative. People are occupying land, and people are feeding each other. There's a lot of mutual aid going on. Can you talk about some of the things that are happening with the land occupations?
Because the main responsibility of our state under capitalism is to guarantee the citizen security, economic, political, social, and land is one of that rights. Then when the state doesn't accomplish that, people do what they can. Sometimes nothing, sometimes fight and go against the state and take the right, take the land, and they do that things that what's going on in Guernica, especially today, is a town in Buenos Aires called Guernica.
Ah.
And there are 1,904 families with more than 3,000 children occupying.
Wow. And what is this town? Was this town farmland?
What?
Guernica? They just named it Guernica, or was it named Guernica before? It was named Guernica after the Spanish town that was bombed?
Yes. Now it's called President Perón since 10 years ago. But we all call with the old name, well, that was Guernica.
Did they name it Guernica after 1937? Was it named?
No, after.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so this town is a very small town, but now there's thousands of people who have moved in and are occupying land. And what land? Whose land are they occupying?
These people is employed, impoverished, inability to pay rent, especially. And the land, there is.
Say that again. You're breaking up a little.
The people who is there is unemployment, impoverishment, and people inability to pay rent. And land is there is a private neighborhood bordering the land take, and this private neighborhood, there are rugby fields under construction. The construction company is plaintiff against the taking of land, but does not provide property titles. And more than 50% of private neighborhoods bordering this land are taxed to the state as vacant land, because they are vacant land. But
that's what the state calls it, vacant land.
After the take, group, economic group, Sociedad Anónima is called here, appeared with and said they were the owners of that land, but after the take, and they have no titles.
Mm-hmm. No titles.
No titles, and the government can do what they want. To expose these compounds or to finish with the take, because the resistance, especially women resistance, women and children. There are a lot of feminist groups working there, and the resistance is especially organized by women.
Right. And what has been the response of the state so far?
Oh, divide. All the time they try to divide people. offering money, 4,000 pesos, that they are $40, $100. So you can go away and buy something if you can. Promises. The government want to people go away from there.
Is it working? Are people going for such little amount of money?
People resist. People resist. They are very united. That's the trouble, the matter. That's the there's 1 month more because yesterday it would have been the desalojo, que se llama la represión para desalojarlos. But the government couldn't because resistance of the state.
Has the government tried to send in lots of riot police like they do?
The police?
Mm.
Yes, yes.
And then the police leave? I mean, the police have not destroyed the camps. The police have been kept away?
No, the police went away because the resistance, as I said.
They
couldn't. And the public opinion.
Very much support?
Yes, yes, but not the media, not the media.
Ah. The media, which is owned by the landlords and the big companies.
They are thieves for the media. They are thieves.
They're thieves. The media is saying they're thieves.
Yes, yes. They don't work and they want everything.
And the media in Argentina, it's generally very much corporate. Is there not a good... no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are two groups, one called Clarín and the other one, Nación.
Mm-hmm.
They are historical.
Were the media, is the Argentinian media generally supportive of the Kirchners, of the ruler of the previous government there, or were they are they very right?
Yes, sometimes no. Mm-hmm. Till 2008, yes. After 2008, no, because there was a struggle with the campo. It's called the campo. The tenants of the land, and then from that moment on, the media was against Kirchner.
Mm-hmm.
Until now.
And with the land,
media says makes an influence. Influence promoting that the government is in hands of Cristina Kirchner.
Mm-hmm.
The real president of our country is Cristina Kirchner for media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a trouble. That's it. She's also a thief. And then what are we doing?
This is so with the land occupations, people are. The possibility is that the state will say, "Okay, you have the title to the land, and it can become legal." Is that the hope that it can become legalized if they keep on trying, or
for the take to be legal
with the land occupation there the thousands of women and children?
All depends on our system. Yes, I think it's possible.
Yeah.
Possible. But we must resist and we must fight with ability because the government wants to divide. Or maybe a part of the government.
Mm.
There are contradictions in the government.
Mm.
There's a group that wants to send the police. Another group that want to do they're legal.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see. Yeah. And are there other similar land occupations happening other than in Buenos Aires in other parts of the country?
80. In Buenos Aires, 80.
80?
Loma de Zamora.
80. There's 80.
80.
And are they all involving hundreds of people?
Not so big as this one of Guernica, but 80.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow.
It's crisis.
Yeah. And what about in the city? What about in the apartments and the buildings? Are there rent strikes going on, or are people staying in their apartments and refuse and not paying, even though they cannot pay rent? Or are people just being
No, there is no resistance. There is no resistance. The people who can pay rent goes to the takes.
People who, they just leave their apartments and if they can't pay.
They leave their apartments and they go to the takes.
Why do you think that is, Dario? Because in other places in the world, there's more resistance in urban areas. Like
Yes. I'm thinking that now. There's no movement in Brazil. In Brazil, there's a good movement, a great movement, MTST.
Yeah.
Movimiento de Trabajadores Sin Techo.
But they also are rural, right? In the cities in Brazil?
Yes.
MTST, not MST. Right. Okay. And they're squatting in buildings.
Workers without buildings, right?
And what are they doing?
In Argentina, no. Because I don't know.
Do you know much about what they're doing in Brazil? You're pretty close to the Brazilian border.
There's a movement of resistance, but it's very small. Mm-hmm. No, a big movement,
In Brazil.
No, in Argentina.
In Argentina. Yeah. But what about Brazil? Do you know what's happening there in the cities with this group that you're talking about in Brazil?
No, just a little. But
a little.
There's a movement like this, like the MST, Sin Tierra movement, Movimiento Sin Tierra. You gather a group of persons or companions and go to a land or go to a house and you take it. But you do not offer assistance and refusal of the police or the state. No. In the buildings. No. Mm-hmm. In Europe, yes, no. Or in the United States.
Yeah.
But here.
Right. Interesting.
There are important tracks like Bowen, Hotel Bowen, or some factories, but not buildings, not buildings, really.
In 2000, there were many takeovers of factories.
One of the causes can be the, I don't know if consciousness, but there's an alternative that is land. There's a lot of land back and here. Instead of fighting against the police, you go to Guernica, to another place, and you can do a take, and you can establish there.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the possibilities.
Yeah. Dario, what is it like trying to teach? What's the situation like with the schools in Argentina? You're still an elementary school teacher there.
Yes. Low wages. But lastly, I was thinking this between us, you and me. I think that Nazis loved the war, the Second World War.
Mm.
But Nazism won.
Mm.
This idea, in at the entrance of Auschwitz, there was a sentence, is Arbeit macht frei.
Mm-hmm.
Works make you free. And this idea is highly coached by our people, and everything is work. If you don't work, you don't exist. You have lost your dignity, and that, and one of the main ideas in the head of teachers. Then in the educational system, this idea is not only the head of one of us as teachers, but socially evaluated, then if you don't teach that, well, you are against the people. Well, there was a French Revolution, not Russian Revolution, French Revolution.
That's the one we can talk about, the French Revolution. Huh?
French Revolution, rights, human rights.
Yeah.
We are not animals, respecting animals, but we're not animals in the sense of a donkey, born to work. Wait. I was born to play the guitar, to read, to go for a ride. I was born for those things.
Yeah.
And that was the main idea of the French Revolution.
Right. It's
horrific. And then Nazis, with conscious of that thing, I think, I don't know the real process or the real story, but I think that sentence in the end, at the end of is against the French Revolution, and with consciousness of that.
Mm. And interesting. Then,
we can die. Nazi die. I, like a Nazi, I'm dead. But my idea everywhere.
People only matter if they produce money and if they're working, and otherwise, human rights or the idea that we should.
Even without money.
Mm-hmm.
Work, even without money. Because dignity is working.
Yeah, what? Somehow. Why?
I think it's a victory, or I don't know how to say, a triumph of the power of the of the institutions of the dominating class. I don't know, something like that. I think in that, because I was working during years in a place near Guernica since 1992 till 2015. But now I'm working here since 5 years ago, and this idea is everything. It's all. It's the whole idea in the mind of a teacher. And they want that it be the idea in the mind of their pupils.
Yeah.
There's no and future. They... In this way, there's no future.
But they make this clear, that they make this clear to the teachers, that this is what you should be teaching, that this what matters is working.
The students
should believe that working is the most important thing, and that everybody should be working and producing for the economy. And
yes, that's terrible for me, but. It's a contradiction, but in the unemployment movement, this idea is pirated. They work, we work, but we understand that if something is necessity of the epoch, of the times, but not the future, not the essential, let me say, that the main thing in the life of a person. And in these last times, this idea is strongest. And I think that this idea is strongest with the idea that, or with the practices of Nazism in the vida cotidiana, in the life of every day.
Yeah.
Authoritarianism, totalitarianism, not in Donald Trump, not in Macron, in our peers, in our partners, in our family, everywhere.
Yeah. Okay?
Because Bolsonaro, Donald Trump, yes.
But going way back, like the Puritans, I mean, the Puritans in the United States embraced this idea of work makes you free is very popular in the Anglo-American Puritan capitalist tradition, as well as with the Nazis. But when you mentioned the French Revolution, it's interesting because I think that this idea that work makes you free is much less popular in France and other countries in Southern Europe compared to in Northern Europe, where it's much more, yeah.
And it's a strange situation because Marx itself and Lenin itself called the French Revolution the Great French Revolution.
Right. But in England and the United States, if you learn anything about the French Revolution in school, you learn that Napoleon was a madman. And that's all they tell you. But it was a very important event. And can you talk about the importance of the French Revolution in terms of understanding the world today?
Yes. I think that excellent. And I'm a Marxist. I'm a Marxist. But I think the heart part of the of our theory or our practice is there in that beginning,
mm-hmm.
The French Revolution, because mm-hmm. In the U.S. The song was not the first time in 1918 or 1920 was not the International but the Marseillaise.
Mm.
The Marseillaise.
Mm-hmm.
They sang the Marseillaise. People in the Soviet, then there's something there very important that we have forgot. We have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is not casual, this is not an accident. I think that is a triumph of Nazism. I call it Nazism. Yeah. It's very strong. It's a very strong word, really.
Mm.
Nazism. But between you and me, it's a very strong word. Because if you say somebody is a Nazi, well, nobody wants to recognize it. And I say these things to myself. Pay attention to myself, and say, what's going on? It occurs to me, even to me, this obsession with work or with some tics or with some ways of being that, like Nazis.
And also, in the more in the sense of being. Real full Nazis, you know, the sort of having a swastika. I mean, this is also very popular among some people, you know, here in the United States. It's becoming more and more popular in some right wing, you know, among Donald Trump supporters to actually have swastikas and to be openly white supremacist.
But the power recreates itself, and let me say Nazis without a swastika.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
that's more popular.
A cultural situation.
Yeah,
And that the that culture of work is one of the faces.
It's one of the great victories of the far right that this is so normalized. Yeah, like that. When I go out on the streets of Portland, Oregon, putting up posters about rent resistance, about rent strikes, yet people in some neighborhoods, in the more working class white neighborhoods, people yell at me from their pickup trucks, and they tell me, "Get a job." This is the insult. This is the great insult for anybody that's doing any kind of organizing. They say, "Get a job."
Yes, here. Anda a trabajar. Here, there's a phrase that agarra la pala. Catch the, I don't know how to say pala. Well, it's a tool.
Like a farming tool, like a hoe or something.
Yeah.
And this is what they would say to people.
Get a job.
Basically, get a job working on a farm.
Yes. Yeah. But that is said not only by miserables, but even by partners, by companions, by our family. That people who I think that we can do structural changes, changement. We can do a revolution. We must do a revolution with our people that in their heads think this in these terms.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's having the revolution in their heads, right? Because many people will just take a second job. I mean, here now, many people are working two jobs because they can't pay the rent with one job.
And I think that there's the only way to go ahead with this team is organize. Discussing sometimes is a loss of time because we are companions. We divide ourselves. We don't go anywhere. Then I think in the terms of the French Revolution. I think in the terms of the Che Guevara, or I think in the terms of Sacco y Vanzetti. I don't know. Then organize as you think, and that will be an attraction or will resolve our mental problems. Because discussing or words against word, we are in a strategic defense. I don't know how to say it, but we will not win.
No, be part of something that's happening on the ground, part of a project, to be part of something that's real and substantial.
In Guernica, was Guernica, people organized.
Yeah.
They went there, take the land, and here we are.
Yeah.
That is a light where you can see or not see or think, talk about that, take position. But the action is the key.
Yeah.
Because there are limits, and words can do more.
No.
The theory is, for me, no, the humble way, the theory is clear. French Revolution, anarchism, Marxism, Che Guevara, revolution, we know. But in the action, we can do it.
And there are many good ideas. But putting them into practice.
Yeah, that's for me, it's special. We must go on discussing, thinking, recreating theory. But I say it with humble between you and me and two others, because if you want to do this for masses or millions, you have no any effect. But if you do things like the take in Guernica, yes.
It's and if there Zapatista, are many more, the Zapatistas
did something like this.
Yeah.
A few words, but a lot of action.
And when the state came to get them, the world responded with a lot of support, and the state had to back off. Yeah.
Yes. The MST in Brazil.
Mm.
It's the same strategy. I think the strategy goes that way. They are not Marxists. They are not Leninists. I don't matter. For me, don't matter.
And do you know, is the state in Argentina, are they targeting certain activists for charging them with felonies or charging them with crimes or arresting certain organizers? Yes. That's going on now?
Yes, killing directly or charging with delictive accusations. Yes, yes.
I remember in 2000, I think they the police went into a march coming from the Anabel Verón neighborhood, and they just shot two men in their heads, executed them. They were both organizers.
Darío Santillani and Maximiliano Costecchi. Yes.
Yes, yes. And this kind of thing is happening.
Yes, yes. Sometimes killing, sometimes not. But they kill not in the manifestations, in demonstrations, not in demonstrations, but in the neighborhood, in the popular neighborhood.
They find them. They find the people. They find certain people that they're looking for. Yeah.
Youth people. Here from the pandemic, during the pandemic, 180 people they have killed. The police
for what reasons? What do they say?
Your face.
Black what?
Face. Your face. Youth. You are youth.
You're youth. So it's not that they're targeting people for being organizers?
Excuse me?
Are they going after people because they are organizing or just because they're youth?
No, because you are youth especially, but there are some partners or companions that were killed because of being organizers. Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the last one, the most famous case was that of Facundo Castro. That was a young man that was Peronist, was with this government, her mother and him. But he was killed by the police, he was missing, and when he appeared, he was dead. And there was a lot of demonstrations, but he was a guy that was known because he was a rebel. He was he always spoke about our rights, our human rights. He was against the police, all these things, and he was killed by the police 2 months ago.
Mm.
Yes, yes, it's selective killing, but especially youth people, because generally in incidental situation, something like finally you don't know what was the situation, but it's obviously that it was impunidad. It's called impunidad here. It was the police can do what they want, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
And the government protects them.
Yeah. Sounds so familiar.
In United States, we young, no? Everything we saw it in the TV.
Yeah.
Terrible, 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 terrible.
They kill people and they never pay for it. Yeah. They never,
black
the police.
Live,
yeah.
Black lives doesn't matter there.
Yeah.
For the government.
Yeah, no.
Terrible, terrible.
And has there been a lot of popular response to the killing of this organizer a few months ago?
Yes. It was a crisis for the government.
Mm.
Yes.
Good.
The president was obliged to receive her mother, the mother of Facundo. And they spoke, and they and he promised, and nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah.
The minister of security is still there. The police are still there. The killers are still there. And we are without Facundo.
And with the other occupations, so the other land, 80 land occupations going on around Buenos Aires, are the police breaking them up when they're small enough? Are the police just staying away?
Yes. I have some data here. In Lomas de Zamora, La Matanza, other places here. Yes. They killed some people.
Oh. They killed people. The riot police killed people.
Let me see. In 2015, more than 300 families took land in a vacant place, and the police they didn't kill, but they made them to go away, and the land is still abandoned.
Wow! Yeah.
Things like that, because there is a business here with the land in some buildings called countries. Private neighborhoods there, and there is a lot of land abandoned here, and then the government and some empresarios, businessmen, take that land with the government, and then they do money with that.
Yeah,
if people go before them. Well, this is a problem.
Yeah, because then where is the money? It's the big business, real estate.
And... It's a big business, real estate. That's the word.
And you have such a big country, so much land with so few people compared to the amount of land too, which is maybe relevant to point out about Argentina. Yeah,
our country is enormous, and there's a lot of land without people.
Yeah.
But not because people doesn't want to go to land and to work in the farm.
No.
Our country is Buenos Aires. Wrong. Buenos Aires, Rosario, Córdoba, three big cities, and we are all there.
That's where all the jobs are, if it's not farming.
Because there are shops there. There are shops there. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no option.
Yeah. What's it been? The pandemic, though, has been a big that's changed a lot of things. Yeah, a lot of the contradictions are much more intense now because of the pandemic. Yeah, in Argentina.
Yes. But let me think. This pandemic is a biological.
Phenomenon, right? Phenomenon. A natural,
right. Natural phenomenon, and the economical crisis are a social phenomenon,
right?
It's a dangerous way of thinking for me. That the cause of the crisis is the pandemic.
Yeah,
the crisis is capitalism, obviously.
Right,
but. Inside capitalism, obviously, something like the pandemic burns all out.
Right. But if nobody had to be coming up with so much money every month for real estate and landlords and banks, then then yeah, it wouldn't be a crisis for us, right?
It's a great business.
There's still lots of food. The fields are full of food, and we have plenty to eat in Argentina and in the United States. There's no shortage of food. You know, there's just no shortage of land, no shortage of anything, except for distribution.
Is the cause or the place where all the bad things of the world come, the pandemic.
Mm.
La causa de todos los males. I don't know how to say it in English.
Mm. But, the total chaos? No, what's that?
The cause of all the
ah the bad yeah. things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you teaching online? Are you doing this online thing? Are they having schools?
With other people.
And then
I'm crazy.
That's crazy. It's crazy because do the students have the internet access?
No.
At home? No.
You must pay it. Both teachers and students. And that's it's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just leaves behind the bottom half of society is just left behind completely.
Yes.
Economically,
yes. Yes. And the other trouble is that teaching by this way, if you teach 1 hour, 2 hours with your rights preserved, well, but if you teach 24 hours by day, it's a Molotov, it's a bomb petrol bomb. There's no teacher that can resist this situation.
Yeah.
With 60 pupils, 60 students, it's impossible. For us and for them.
Yeah.
The majority, most of the students in September doesn't study anymore.
Yeah. And the teachers, they keep their jobs because they just... I mean, I feel like many teachers would be just quitting their jobs if they didn't have to make a living, because it's just so terrible trying to teach this way.
Yes. But the main problem, the main conflict, the main is that we don't have. It's not syndicate. We don't have workers organization.
A union, a teachers union.
We don't have a teacher.
There's union. No teachers union in Argentina.
Yes, there is, but it's of the same political line of the government. And then we must resist. The pandemic, we must resist everybody. We are only one person. People is one person that must resist this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are not the same. Businessmen and teachers.
Well, if you ran the teachers union, theoretically, what kind of initiative do you think they should take?
If we?
Well, yeah, like what should the teachers union do?
I think that in the first time in March, when the pandemic began, we must stay at home 15 days. 15 days as an example, both students and teachers.
Mm.
If you don't move, pandemic doesn't distribute between us.
Mm.
But no, the it was the opposite. Teachers were obliged to go everywhere, continuing their tasks, and that was terrible. But now, in this situation, Wi-Fi free, computers, more wage, elevate wages, obviously, and. And wait here, stay here at home. I don't think the task may be to return to come back to schools. Mm. That is one of the pressure that the opposition to the government is promoting.
Yeah. But also for economical reasons, yeah, because for the work, the parents to go back to work, they need their children in school. This is the argument, right?
Yes, it's terrible. The pandemic, I told you that it was an excuse. Everything is the cause of the pandemic. We are like we are. No, but it's like a war in some sense. Because in a war, if you do A, you are in problems. If you do C or you do B, two. There's no way. There's no way during the war. Well, I think during this pandemic, do what you do. You sacrifice one of the parts, or you the challenge is what part you sacrifice. And I think government sacrifice, people sacrifice, workers, obviously. But I think that our union, the teachers' union, if we were in their conduction or were in their head, could make this establish a pressure over the one against the strongest sectors of our society. Mm. And in the last instant to sacrifice them, not the people.
Yeah.
But our union is aligned with the government is impossible. But not only the union. If the union can do this, it's because of our head as teachers is in this line.
Mm. Right, because teachers could have some kind of influence on the union leadership if more teachers were involved with the union, perhaps. But that's,
not
maybe.
Only involved, but if our... It's complicated.
Yeah.
Most difficult situation ever.
Very, because, I know. It's true.
Because if our head were another one, like in 2000, in the 90s. It could be another.
Because society was really united then, and there, now it's more divided. You'd say?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that the main problem is that even united under the mind of the power, under the mind of the government, under the mind of the I don't like to say Nazism, of the domination. Mm. Not under the mind of the French Revolution.
yeah, the Arbeitmacht frei wing of society.
Arbeitmacht frei. with that idea, you have a government for years.
Yeah, that works for a lot of them. Dario, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I think other people out there in the world have enjoyed the conversation too. But thanks so much for talking to us for the hour here.
Thank you to you. Excuse me for my English, please.
Oh, it's excellent.
I don't speak English this year.
You don't get practice every day with English, you're 300 miles from Buenos Aires. Maybe if you lived in Buenos Aires, you'd run into more. Tourists from,
Really well.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dario. Thank you. Take care.
See you soon.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this conversation with Dario Diaz. And you can find it in podcast form if you look for This Week with David Rovics, wherever you get your podcasts. And I will see you for more discussions next week, which generally happen Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. in Buenos Aires, 6 p.m. in London, 7 p.m. in Berlin. And I will be, you can look out on Bandcamp for a new album coming from me called Say Their Names, which will be out in the next few days. And thanks for tuning in. And remember, don't pay the rent. Mutual aid will get us through. Trust your neighbors. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.